fixed me some coffee and a honey bun. Jumped in my pickup, gave her the gas. I'm going out to catch a
welcome to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio, and with us we do have this lovely blonde lady and her Linda and her husband Pat, who was a writer for Western Outdoor News. And on the line with us we have the Grizz. What else can I say? Hey, Grizz.
Hey.
A couple of things. Today's show is going to be a little bit different. Usually we jump around, cover a lot of different things, but we've got two topics today that we want to focus in on. And one of them, which is certainly dear to your heart, is the whale sharks.
Yeah, and the big toad fish.
Well, I call them the gentle giants because, you know, if you've ever seen one, then you'll understand why. Because I'm not even actually sure. Are they actually a shark?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Well, it says whale shark, but yeah, they've got this.
That's
very
because they're so big.
Yeah, but they don't have teeth.
No, but there's a lot of whales that do not have teeth.
You said they were a shark. I'm trying to trip you up.
I'm sorry. A lot of sharks that do not have teeth.
Okay. All right, gotcha.
No, they are a shark, of the shark family. You know, they're not a whale. Whales are mammals, and they're the largest fish in the world.
Oh, because a whale is a mammal, it's not a fish. Oh.
That's exactly right.
Oh. And how large...
That's why they have a blowhole, because they have to breathe.
Well, how large is the largest fish in the world?
The whale sharks get up to over 38 feet long. There's reports of them of 44.
And they're not measured in pounds, but tonnage, right?
Yeah, you don't measure anything like that in pounds.
Yeah. But anyway, we're going to be talking. We have Eduardo coming on in another part of the segment from the Costa Baja Resort. And we'll find out more about whale sharks. But it seems to me that the Bay of La Paz is certainly the favorite place to view them. I don't. Can you see them other areas?
Yeah, they are. They're in other areas. But they're more famous here. The other day we were out, we had 23 of them all the way around the boat.
Wow. Well, you know, what's really cool is we'll talk about it a little bit later. I don't want to go into it too deep. But these creatures.
Don't mention it.
these creatures, I've had the opportunity to see them just a couple of times. You know, but they'll just kind of lazily swim, you know, along the top. And they have no problem at all if people want to get in the water and go snorkeling or swimming and go up and touch them.
No, you cannot touch them.
You mean you're not supposed to touch them?
Well, the thing of it is, if you said you don't want to go into this, so
okay.
If you want to go into this, I'll go.
All right,
no,
let's not do it right now. Then Okay, the other thing we want to talk about today is sturgeon fishing. And sturgeon is also an amazing creature. We're going to be talking to that in the next segment that's coming up with Kelly Short, who's a fishing guide in the Pacific Northwest. And they are also extremely interesting creatures. But right now, let's talk a little about La Paz and the Grizz, and then let's see if you and Pat have anything, you know, that any information you want to share with each other.
Yeah.
So,
no, I don't want to talk to Pat.
No, you don't want to talk to me. You don't want to talk to me about La Paz. You know more a lot about La Paz than I do. I've been there one time. So,
yeah. Well, you need to come down and do the fishing. Right now in La Paz, it's actually great fishing. We got yellowtail showing up, and of course a big, big Sierra. Right now, the mackerels are starting to move at the coyote. So, and we've got out at the Bajo right now. There are tons and tons of hammerhead sharks.
Well, you know, that's...
But I mean tons.
That's another interesting thing because, you know, hammerhead can be a sport fish, but you don't want to kill them.
No, of course not.
But I haven't done it, but I've seen a lot of videos where the scuba divers will go down and then look up at the whale sharks swimming around above them.
Yeah, right now that's what they're doing
because
there's so many of them right now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, they're just everywhere.
So, in other words, the only thing between you and the surface is the hammerhead sharks. I'm not sure I'd like to be there.
Well, they're very unique and they're very interesting to catch. they're kind of difficult to catch, where their mouth is back, set back under that hammerhead, as they're called. And they fight fairly well because of their size. Normally, you hook them up and they go straight down.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like pulling a Volkswagen off the bottom of the ocean. They're not like the Makos, who do all the jumping, and the Threshers, who do the jumping.
Yeah.
They just bulldog you.
Right. Well, and, you know, Threshers, it's a great game fish, but, you know, if you take one every once in a while, they sure do taste good.
I try to get a young one about once a year, either that or a Mako, because they're just fantastic.
Yeah. And you also mentioned Sierras, which is a member of the mackerel family, and they, first of all, they're a lot of fun, but they're not that easy to catch because they have very sharp teeth that are close together, and if you get the hook in their mouth, but there's a little bit of line, they'll go right through that in a blink.
Yeah, well, unless you got more money than brains, you use a steel leader.
Then they don't bite as well.
Yeah, they do.
Well, they do for
you.
Yeah,
they do. Depends on what lure you use.
Yeah, okay. But, no, they are a lot of fun, and they are also a great table fare. But that's one of those things that you don't get them and put them in this freezer for 6 months. You know, they're something that...
No, they become mushy.
Yeah, you want to get them and...
Unless you freeze them in water.
Oh, another tip.
Okay. Yeah, you know, if you take them and you put them in a Ziploc bag, not like we're used to, you know, vacuum, but put them in water. Or I'll tell you another thing, the milk cartons, the actually cardboards, if you put the fillets in there, fill them up with water, throw them in the freezer, they don't turn into mush when you thaw them out.
Okay. But I think that as far as, you know, most of our listeners have an idea what ceviche is, but it's a fresh fish that you marinate in lime juice, which actually cooks the flesh and makes it kind of white and, you know, and like it's been cooked. And the Sierra, I think, probably are one of the best for that.
I agree, John. I think, you know, to fillet them out and cut them up and then, like you said, put them in lime juice. The citric acid, you know, it's a tricitric acid that actually cooks the fish when you marinate it in that. Chop you some onions and, you know, and it's just real good. I like to put a little mayonnaise in mine.
I like mayonnaise. I never tried that.
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay. And so we're talking about in La Paz right now, are the gentle giants or the whale sharks, have they come in yet?
I was just with 23 the other day.
Well, you did say that.
23 of them.
Wow. So they
we're going out tomorrow. They say there's somewhere around 40 out there right now is what they told me. I just came back from the marina right now, and they said that there's an estimated 40 out there.
Right. And then we got the hammerheads, which...
The hammerheads are not in close. They're about an hour running out. Mm-hmm. They're out in the Bajo.
And, well, you've got a whole fleet of boats down there now, so if somebody wants to go down to the Costa Baja Resort or whatever Grizz wants to put you up into, you've got some boats to take them out. Hammerhead, I've never caught one, and I don't know if it's something you catch on purpose or is it incidental. How do you catch those?
Well, I like to catch them because they make great television.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way we do on that is, again, steel leader, use a circle hook so you get it out, you know, without hurting the animal. And a Sierra is really good. A dead Sierra, hook them right through the back under the dorsal.
Oh.
And then put them down on the bottom, and it won't be long, and you've got one of those boys on.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, when you're fishing, when the bait you're using is more than 2 feet long, it means you're after the big stuff.
Well, most of the times we do that. Yeah. You know that, John.
Well, anyway, we're going to be coming up to a break here in just a couple minutes, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk some more about sturgeon, which you don't have in Baja, but I'm sure you know a little bit about it, and they're fascinating
fish.
Caught
a few of them.
Right. They're fascinating and quite unusual. We're going to learn a lot more about them. Right now, we're going to have to take a quick break. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. We'll be right back with you.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
The road stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first-ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
Yeah, I can catch them shallow, I can catch them deep. Muddy water or the back of the creek. Wind and rain.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in the studio, and we have with us today, we have Pat Young, his lovely wife. We have the lovely Grizz brought to us from La Paz. I use that word very loosely. And then,
yes, you did.
And then we have Kelly Short. Now, Kelly is a fishing guide. And one of the things he does, of course, he's big into Baja also, as anybody that likes to fish should be. But also, he's a fishing guide in Northern California, and we're going to be talking today about sturgeon, primarily white sturgeon in the Columbia River. So welcome to Fish Talk Radio, Kelly.
Hey, well, thanks a lot. And just to make one correction, I live up in Oregon. So I'm on the Columbia River, and the Columbia River holds the largest population of white sturgeon anywhere. Mm. So it's quite the incredible fishery. It offers fish from 20 inches to 15 feet long.
15 feet? Just,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the largest that I've ever had to my boat before. So they are they do get up there.
Well, I have had the opportunity to go sturgeon fishing, and once I even caught one, by the way. it's a very highly regulated fishery, and one of the reasons for that is I understand they can live to be over 100 years old.
Yeah, they get extremely, you know, they're our prehistoric fish. They've been around for decades, so mm-hmm. They've been able to adjust to all kinds of conditions that they've had to, and they're still here with us. But we've gone to great measures to protect those brood stocks in the Columbia and its tributaries and stuff, and regulated our keeper-sized fish that we get to keep.
Mm-hmm.
And the Department of Fish and Wildlife has done a great job working with us, charters and guides, to come up with a slot limit size that allows the angler to retain a quality fish and then also protects the upcoming brood stock to keep the fishery viable and alive.
Right. Well, you know, obviously, you know, people have heard about...
Why don't you tell us what the measurements are that you are allowed to take out, or I should say harvest.
The slot limit.
We haven't changed it. I asked for a modification this year to kind of shorten it up even a little bit more, just to help the situation. But the normal size is 45 inches to 54, so that's to the fork of their tail. So if you went nose to tip, you know, it would probably be like a 60-inch fish that would weigh 40, 50 pounds. You know, it's a nice, big, healthy fish. There's a slot limit. If they're under that, they're juveniles, they get put back. If they're over that, they get put back. You just don't handle them unless they're very close to that size limit and you need to measure them, and then you're allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you something, Kelly. Over the years, the sturgeons were kind of wiped out, and it wasn't for the meat, it was for the caviar, am I correct?
They weren't ever wiped out in the Columbia. The Columbia
is held
a lot of
them. They were worked on.
They do want to harvest them for caviar. True caviar is a beluga sturgeon out of Russia. And that's
yes,
where
exactly.
Your true, real caviar comes from. It's from the beluga sturgeon. And the white sturgeon do have them. And I am sure that there's been some of that going on where they used to catch them. You know, in California, you guys used to be able to keep them... You know, 6-7 feet, great big ones, and they had caviar
no.
in them.
Pat's.
Now I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and we have probably the second best white sturgeon fishery located there in San Francisco Bay and on up into the Sacramento River system.
Yeah,
and they've changed the slot limit there, similar to what you're talking about now with the fork measurement, and the bottom end on ours is 40. And I think the top is 60.
Yeah.
So
it's just a nice slot limit because juvenile fish in our bay systems like that, you know, these people don't understand. These fish come from the salt. They travel back and forth, up and down the coast. I mean, they don't really know where they go because in the summer months, I get an extreme flux of juvenile fish and some adult fish that come into the Columbia because the smelt run comes in. We have anchovies come in. There's the shad run coming in. And they're just... They grow the abundance of food there. They're not trapped behind a dam somewhere where they don't. Their food chain is limited. So I fished around the mothball fleet down there and caught some too, where you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And in my younger years, had a chance to do that. And but it's a lot of fun. People need to do it. I mean, we do it in Oregon. I use a 9-foot salmon rod, you know, and 50-pound line, a braided line, and then. We use like a 5-aught barbless hook. We have barbless hooks on them. That we don't use barbs on them. They're barbless only.
Yeah, they went to single barbless hooks in California, too.
Yeah, that's great because what it's doing is it's really preserving the sturgeon then and letting them get bigger. Because, you know, in the past, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, you're aware of this, too. I mean, you know, they used to be able to keep them up to 6 foot or 5.5 in Oregon and stuff, too, in Washington. But, I mean... We've restricted the size down now where it still gives the angler an opportunity to keep a fish. And if you do, it's a quality fish to keep, and that's what's really nice. You're not keeping a little 30-inch fish. You're keeping one that's a nice-sized fish.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get to that age, it only takes a couple years to get out of that bracket
right.
to where they make it to where they're a broodstock then, or a juvenile broodstock.
Mm-hmm.
They actually will start breeding when they're 72 inches, right at that range in there. They're actually at an adult age where they can breed.
And that would be probably 25, 30 years old?
Yeah, probably in that range. Maybe a little older. It just depends on the area where they're at.
Mm-hmm. And also, a quick question. It seems to me there's a way they can harvest the eggs without killing the fish. Is that right?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know how they do that in Oregon or anything. I mean, I've watched some things on TV one time in Russia to where I thought they... laced them open, took the eggs out, sewed them back up, put them back in, and
well, I mean, just kind of like milking them, but I don't think you'd
yeah.
come up. Yeah, okay, so now that's pretty much it. But, you know, they are fascinating creatures, and they do look like something out of Jurassic Park. I mean, if you see one of those ugly suckers, you go, whoa. But they are bottom feeders, so it's not like they got a lot of sharp teeth.
Let me ask him, you have a lot of green sturgeon down there? California.
Yeah, I just was reading one of the reports that one of our guys had written in the paper here, and they caught three fish, and one of them was a green sturgeon. So of course we can't keep those. You're not even supposed to pull them out of the water. But
we aren't either here. But we don't. I'm starting to see I never used to see very many of them. It was pretty rare to get one.
I think they're still rare down here.
I'm starting to see more of them in the estuary in the lower river down there in the summertime, you know, when the rest of the sturgeon come in pretty full down there and feed on the anchovies and stuff that come into the system down there.
Well, right now in San Francisco Bay, the herring are spawning, so that's really pulling the sturgeon in, and everything's just going on a feeding frenzy when the herring are laying their eggs on the rocks, and they've closed off sections of the bay there because the fish are so vulnerable, because you can see them tailing out of the water. I mean, you know exactly where they're at. So the herring spawn is always kind of the opening of the really good sturgeon fishing, because
when
it really pulls those fish
in. They come in from all the tributaries then around to feed on that, and that's where I was saying we're fortunate where we live along the west coast here. Those fish bulk up. They put on a lot of weight, and they grow it a lot faster because of the nutrition they have with, you know, they eat little crabs and everything else, and then they come in and feed on the herring spawning down there. They'll move up the coast. I mean, when I used to fish below Bonneville Dam 10 years ago and catch big fish, big fish,
right?
I caught them from San Francisco Bay that were tagged, and from the Fraser River.
Oh, really?
So I know they come from both areas back into the where they were spawning up into the Columbia.
Okay.
But the same thing is in the summer months. Once May, the end of May, part of June, I start getting these little pile herring, and we get the anchovies, we start fluctuating in out of the Columbia. They get so far up, and the salinity's wrong, and they die. And, yeah, these fish, they just gorge on them for all summer.
Kelly, we're getting a little bit short on this segment. There's a couple other things I wanted to mention. First of all, if someone wants to go sturgeon fishing, can you help them out?
Hey, you betcha. If they would like to go, I would suggest somebody to come at the end of June, the month of July. If you want to do some catch and release, light tackle fishing in like 15 feet of water, 40 fish days, that's average.
Wow.
They are hard fighting. It is unbelievable fishing. Look me up on the internet at kellyshortoutdoors.com. Give us a call. I work with a couple other guys that have done this for 30 years as well as me, and you'll have a memory for a lifetime.
There you go. Now, did you say that they go into salt water, back into fresh, and spawn?
Yeah.
Okay. But not like a salmon. They can do this over and over and over.
Oh, yeah. That's why they can grow up to 100 years old.
Right. Yeah, they are fascinating, interesting creatures. So, you know, I think as a percentage, there's very few people listening to us that have ever caught one. So if they want to get that experience, again,
when they do, I think the gentleman that's there with you from the outdoor, he'll tell you, too, they don't fight like a log. Everybody thinks a sturgeon is like you're just snagged on something.
No.
It's surely not where I'm at. They're airborne out of the water.
Yeah, they're going to say they jump like a moron.
Yeah, after they worn out, they kind of roll over, but they're very exciting. So let's get that one more time. It's Kelly Short. What was the email?
Kelly Short. KellyShortOutdoors.com.
Okay.
And you've got my phone number if you want to give them that. It's 541-915-9135. They can give us a call. We'll get them hooked up.
Right. Now, remember, if you're listening to the show and you didn't get all that information, just tune in to fishtalkradio.com, and you can listen to it over and over and over as much as you want, so you don't miss anything. Kelly, that was very exciting, and we'd like to get up there with you. And it certainly is an unusual game fish, that's for sure. And if you do get one in legal size range, they kind of taste like lobster.
Yeah.
But
excellent eating.
Really good.
Okay,
we
got to go. Grizz, you hang in there, because we're going to come back and we're going to talk to Eduardo, and we're going to talk more about the whale sharks. Thank you, Kelly. We'll be right back with Fish Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm. Good talking to you.
I'm John Hennigan, host of Fish Talk Radio. This is Common Sense Conservation, brought to you by Santa Monica Seafood. We are talking to Captain Sig Hansen. Captain Sig, give us a real quick idea about sustainable fishing that you're involved with.
Well, as far as sustainability, I think Alaska has really set the bar. We took 40 to 45% of the male crab off the ground, and these days we take 15, and I'm still seeing swings both ways, both up and down, as far as these stocks are concerned. As far as sustainability, it's all about the ecosystem, and the reality is, you know, especially for the crab population, there's so much predation that that's really what affects these swings in population. You've got a lot of predators. You've got a lot of cod and halibut and the yellowfin sole. Right. And so you've got these large swings.
Is this by regulation or are the fishermen actually aware of this?
I think the fishermen are aware of it. But as far as regulatory, you know, the scientists just go by what they see. But, you know, there's always a reason for the madness, and they don't always want to see the reason behind the madness. They right. just look at the numbers okay. of what they see in front of them there. But for me, I look at the past. Why did this swing happen? It's very obvious, but it's just they can't always prove
okay.
it.
Well,
but for me, it's common sense. I know why.
There you go. Thank you, Captain Sig Hansen. This is Common Sense Conservation, brought to you by Santa Monica Seafood. Santa Monica Seafoods works for sustainable fisheries.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at vivalapaz.com. Viva La Paz!
Fish ain't biting, fish ain't biting, fish ain't biting around here no more.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Pat Young, and we have two people on the line with us. Coincidentally, both are in this beautiful City of Peace, capital city of Baja California Sur, also known as La Paz. We just got, well, we, one of them there. That was Pat. Oh, anyway, we have Eduardo, who is the general manager, the El Jefe, of the by far and away the finest resort in La Paz and one of the finest in all of Baja California Sur, the five-star Costa Baja Resort and Spa. And I think if he's looking out his window right now, he might even see some whale sharks. Eduardo, welcome to Fish Talk Radio.
Hi, John. How are you?
Well,
thank
it
you.
Just keeps getting better every day, and I always look forward to today because, you know, getting on the radio and learning all these things. We just talked about something completely different that you've probably never even heard of is fishing for sturgeon in the Columbia River. But right now, we're going to go. We're not going to be fishing for whale sharks, but they're a very top tourist attraction in La Paz, and maybe you can give us an idea why.
Well, this is one of the best places to see the whale shark, one of the biggest fish species worldwide that in some places in the world is dangerous to expire. But we have right now in front of us in La Paz Bay 50 species like that you can snorkeling with them. You can use your paddleboard and just take a big ride with them to take in pictures and enjoy this beautiful animal. No?
Well, most people may shy away from swimming with sharks, But that's the whole point of this, of going down there, is to be able to swim or just kind of look
at
them.
Yeah, it is. You know, the name of the species is the whale shark, but in fact, it's a big fish. It is safe to swim with him because the only thing that he's feeding is just the plankton, no? That is the food that they eat, no? They don't have any kind of teeth, so it's a very calm fish, and the people say that it's a shark by the size of the animal, no? Yeah.
Well, we've talked about sturgeon, which are very unusual creatures that kind of look like they come out of Jurassic Park or prehistoric times. And the whale shark, again, is one of the most unusual creatures you'd ever encounter in the water because it's kind of so hard to describe. But why don't you go ahead and describe what it looks like?
Well, this is a big one. So they have a weight, they have a size of maybe 46 foot, and they have a 66,000 leaves. They have a very weight, like a 45,000 leaves, I don't know. So they have a very good, very big animal, and it's a.
Well, let's put it this way: if you're in a boat watching them, chances are they're a lot bigger than your boat.
Sure, you can see immediately. Even if you want to have the kayak, you don't want to swim with them, so you can just enjoy their ride.
Well, no? They are very unusual because it seems like they're almost all mouth. You said they plankton feed, but their mouth is what, like 6-8 feet wide, and then it kind of tapers down.
Yeah, it's all the pictures and movies that the people take it with them is when they are feeding the plankton, so they take a big mouth, but it's safe to swim with them. It's a beautiful experience, and you can imagine to be on the water and you have four around you. So but they don't have any they are not dangerous with you. No,
Grizz, it's you're being awfully quiet. Let's get a better idea. What it's like to go visit those and how you do it.
Well, John, the thing of it is like Eduardo said, you're talking about a fish that's up, the average size of the fish that we have right now in La Paz are probably about 28 foot right now. You get some big adult ones out there. I've seen one the other day about 38 foot. But you got to imagine this. You're talking about the mouth. Now, they eat plankton. So imagine how big that mouth has to be to suck in the water to get microscopic food for an animal that is 25, 35, 45 foot long. So their mouth, they depend on their mouth. If you look at them close, the local fishermen call them toadfish. They have the color of a toad.
Yeah.
They're brown with spots, and I mean, they look like a toad. They call them pisapos, which means a toadfish.
Mm-hmm.
They're not dangerous at all. I mean, you can swim. You don't want to touch them. You can stay beside one for minutes at a time, but the moment you touch them, it spooks them, and they take off.
Okay.
And the other thing is, we don't want to encourage touching any type
of natural wild
fish or whales because we have such dirty hands.
Oh.
And, you know, we can promote, we can take the slime off their skin, we can actually make the poor animals sick. But this is a time to do it. The time is to come in now, like Eduardo said, they're everywhere. And you, imagine this day of this. Come in. You're at the Costa Baja, the finest hotel, as you said, in all of northern Baja California. There's no sur, there is no better. Go in, have a great breakfast where they have the finest chefs, and then go out, because you don't have to get up early in the morning. Go out in the middle of the day, and preferably in the middle of the day, because the sun is up high, mm-hmm. and you can see better in the water.
Okay.
Go in there. Take it easy. Come back to the dock. and then go have a great meal in Steinberg's, which is the, in my opinion, the number one restaurant in all of La Paz. So, right. I mean, it's an experience that you want to have. Yeah. It's just a great experience. You don't have to be fishing. You can just go out and actually see the beauty of this.
Mm-hmm. And actually, the restaurant you mentioned is Steinbeck's, and it's it's not a coincidence because of his affiliation in La Paz. But I think, was it the
I'll
Book
be
of
there
Pearl?
Tonight.
Oh, Chris, man, you got such
I
a
will.
Tough life.
I go there.
You got such a tough life.
But, yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. And Costa Baja takes care of me.
Mm-hmm. So give an idea. Obviously, you know, the prime reason that we like to go down there is the fishing opportunities. But this is something that you can take a day or even go out fishing. Sometimes you'll come across them on the way in.
Yeah, you can find them right there. Right in front of Costa Baja, as you come into the marina, we seen 7 there the other day while we were going out fishing. So they're all in this area where there's plankton. Where there's plankton this time of year, you will find these critters.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see, because that's what they're doing. Is instead of following the bait, they follow the plankton.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when the wind blows, it pushes the plankton in different areas, and these fish, well, it's like anyone else, you know. I follow around restaurants, too, because that's where the food is.
And we know you like to eat. But actually, I know you like to cook, too.
Well, I like to cook. And I'll tell you what, with the chef at Costa Baja, I love cooking with him. I just, about 2 weeks ago, Larissa Unleash, Captain Patrick Crawford, myself and Charlie cooked with the chef there in Costa Baja. Okay. It was incredible.
Well, by the way,
Dorado that we caught, and it was fantastic.
Now, Larissa, a.k.a. Larissa Unleashed, has been a frequent guest, and she spends some time down there and done a lot of television shows with you. She recently got some sort of an award. What was that?
The Top Shot of the Year Award. She shot a deer running at full speed with an arrow.
Boy, that's one woman you want to get pissed off at you, don't you?
Ooh, no, you want to get her mad. I mean, we stayed together for 17 days filming.
Yeah.
And I tried really to keep her nice.
Yeah.
I kept knives and sharp instruments away from her.
Okay. Well, by the way, let me mention something that is of certainly concern to you and Eduardo. We are launching a new webpage for realfunadventures.com. You can go to fishtalkradio.com and click on it, but it's also URL is realfunadventures.com. And it's in its infancy right now. We've got a couple of trips coming up, but we've got a lot more coming. Probably by the time you know that you listen to this, there might be 3 or 4 more. But what the plan is on Real Fun Adventures is basically have a landing page. And any place you want to go, any type of fishing you want to get, we're going to have there. I mean, obviously, La Paz, but Alaska, Belize, and then maybe sturgeon fishing in the Columbia. Whatever that you want. If you don't find us, let us know, and we'll get it for you. But what we're not doing is we're not just taking ads for resorts. Every resort, every trip has been personally visited and recommended by someone on the staff, either myself or Grizz or George in Alaska. So everyone you can trust in. So we really like to get some activity on that. Whatever you want to do, wherever you want to go, we'll get you there. And that is realfunadventures.com. Anyway, we have Pat, Grizz, and Eduardo in studio, and we're almost out of time in this segment. So let's see if we can get a little plug in, especially for the Costa Baja Resort and Spa. If you go down there, and just let us know, and Eduardo will meet you and treat you like a VIP. And that is Costa Baja Resort. And then, of course, we got the Grizz at ASOB Online, and then Pat Young with Western Outdoor News. We appreciate you tuning in to Fish Talk Radio. Make sure you go to the site, and we'll be talking to you real soon.
Yeah, come on fishing, yeah, yeah, come on fishing.